Hello and welcome to the Multiverse of Marketing! I am Crash and Burn, and with me as always is J.R. Sweeney.
Hi!
I always feel a little bad for my co-hosts when they have to follow up on that.
Whatever. Like, the way I look at it is I can try to match that level of energy, and I'm just not capable of that. So anything I do is going to be a letdown.
Frankly, I'm just at this point surprised I can do it, because it is 10 p.m. on a Friday, and I am in my late 30s, and I can muster this energy without any narcotics.
Wow.
That's fucked up.
No, that's impressive. I, you know, of course, admittedly, part of this, I have a kid, so that's destroyed my ability to stay up late anyway. But given that I was never really a morning person anyway, and now I'm not a night person, I exist in this weird state of I have maybe a good hour where I am happy and upbeat, and the rest of the time I'm walking around just going,
I've reached this very strange state where I am a night person, but I've never been a morning person until recently. And I am bolt upright at the latest at 8 a.m. And I don't go to sleep until about 2 a.m. So I get like 6 hours per night, and the whole day I am go, go, go. I have no idea what the fuck happened to me. I want to say it's because of the weight loss, but I'm also going to blame it on the estrogen.
Fair enough. I wake up early. I wake up early. I'm usually awake by 5:15. Simply because when you have a kid, little kids wake up fucking early. Yes. And I got used to that. And so now my entire biological, I don't want to say biological clock because that's something else entirely, but my internal clock is calibrated to waking up hella early. So even when I want to sleep, I have to wake up and piss bright and early. And once I piss, I'm awake. That's all there is to it. But because I'm not a morning person, I'm not happy about it at all. I'm walking around the entire morning. Even after a couple of cups of coffee, there's no point in trying to talk to me. Like I said, it's basically I have from about 11:30 to 12:45 where I'm with it and cogent, and then the rest of the time it's gonna take a couple of tries before you get a real answer out of me.
Well, one thing that I absolutely am geared up for, energized for, always awake for, always craving and just absolutely love, and it may leave you feeling a little logy at the end of it, let's be fair, it's the delightfulness of this episode, this particular episode. It's funny to be on only episode 6 and to definitively say at this point, I think this is my favorite episode we'll ever do, just because holy shit, this goes hard.
That's a tough one. Because on the one hand, yeah. On the other hand, there are going to be other episodes that I'm going to get an opportunity to just fanboy out. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pull the trigger on favorite episode, but this is certainly my favorite of the ones we've done so far.
Yeah, this is unapologetic, holy shit, balls out fun with a concept that typically at this level of promotional branding is verboten. You do not allow this kind of nonsense. And for anyone who's been paying attention to some of the posts I made about a month ago or so, when we were initially reading this comic, you know exactly what's coming. And this is only, to our great discovery, part one of a three-part series where we're going to look at this issue. We're going to look at an issue that came before it and everything that is included in a certain kind of comic book that is meant to promote someone, and as well, a brand, the brand we're going to be talking about, that goes so fucking hard, so out there. And then there's a sequel where everything you could ever imagine could happen to this ridiculous concept does happen.
Two sequels.
Completely missed out on it. Oh my god. See, after the next one, which I will name in a bit, you'd expect that would be the end. But no, there's more. Because today, oh god, there's far more. Because today, it is a tale of two colonels. The Colonel of Two Worlds! It's Flash and Colonel Sanders! KFC!
And also, to a lesser extent, Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
So, a little bit of backstory here. KFC put out a comic for the San Diego Comic-Con in 2014, which was biographical.
Just a basic, straightforward, here is the narrative of the company as per Colonel Sanders' life. You know,
yeah.
There's nothing revealing in it except for that time he killed a man.
The idea behind it was simply, here's a series of stories from Colonel Sanders' life that informed why he makes chicken the way he does. And
I mean, kids are stupid. They'll read anything. It's a comic book. What do they care?
It was free. Like, it, what
it
do you
was
want?
Free.
But
yeah,
so they needed a follow-up the following year for New York Comic Con. And
you would think, okay, maybe you do another one in the same style. This comic, this biographical comic, will be the next episode where we're going to deep dive into all of that. But like, to just generally touch on it, it had a very kind of like almost painterly kind of very, very light art style. This is a non-confrontational comic. It exists. The Colonel looks really like friendly and generous and like homey, and it almost has aspects of like Norman Rockwell to it.
I mean, everything, the entire persona that KFC has crafted for the Colonel is basically what you can expect from a comic like that. For the follow-up, they decided to go completely off the fucking rails, and I love it.
Yeah, someone starts snorting the secret herbs and spices.
So, the following year, 2015, they...
At the New York Comic-Con.
At New York Comic-Con, they did a follow-up with DC, which was Kentucky Fried Chicken presents the Colonel of Two Worlds featuring Flash and Colonel Sanders. And this comic was written by Tony Bedard and Shane Edwards, penciled by Tom Derenick, inked by Trevor Scott, colored by Hi-Fi Design, lettered by Daron Bennett, and edited by Alex Antone and Brittany Holzer. And I unabashedly love it because...
Oh, unabashedly love it. I want more of this universe. I'm glad that we're going to get a little bit more in following episodes, but this has to be an ongoing. This is so good. This is so good. This is the best thing to come out of the new 52.
Well, and the thing about it is, there is a balancing act in situations like this, wherein you want the thing you're promoting to look good.
Yeah. But you want the investors to not feel threatened. You don't want to undermine your brand. You don't want to give a suggestion of something that later corporate entities may not want or may age horribly with time.
Right.
So usually these kinds of things are so milquetoast.
But nor do you want a situation where the character who is crossing over with the brand winds up looking stupid or ineffectual.
Wait, and do we have an example of that?
I don't know. If only there were a situation where we'd covered a book that failed miserably in every direction.
Nope, not coming to me.
Yeah, nothing comes to mind.
It phased right out of my head.
Damnedest thing. But this manages it really well, because on the one hand, Colonel Sanders is an active participant in what's going on, and we get the branding telling us why KFC is so great. On the other hand, Flash and Green Lantern, who are here, are not completely slapdick.
They're confused, admittedly, a little bit.
They are confused by the situation because it is kind of dumb.
It's dumb, but it makes complete sense. And this is what is possibly the best part of it. It makes complete sense and has utter respect for DC multiverse continuity. This isn't some bullshit that's pulled out of nowhere. No, there's canon.
The thing that I like is Flash and Green Lantern are there. But this is not a situation like with that hypothetical other book wherein characters are wetting themselves over villains they've faced before or anything like that. Flash and Green Lantern are sort of along for the ride, but the whole thing's kind of beneath them. So they're not.
It's beneath them, but they're so fascinated by the weirdness that they're just kind of like, no, we're not going anywhere. No, it's fine. Listen, Superman can take care of that bank robbery. We're here for this.
Yeah. And so they don't come off looking bad. They're not as actively engaged as they maybe could be. But by the same token, if I am Hal Jordan and I wield one of the most powerful weapons in the universe and the Great Chicken War lands in my lap, I mean, like the Great Red Dragon says in Bone, never play an ace when a two will do. So
I would just like to go back one moment and say I wish Green Lantern was still affected by the color yellow more directly. It would have been really funny to see him just get like covered in egg and have the yolk completely depower him.
Sure. The premise of this is that
I just the pre the, I, there's no way to not laugh at this once you go into the premise of just like, it's so bare bones, and yet it is so intensely like only someone who was way too into the DC multiverse could find how to make this work. And it just, even when I think about it, it fucking tickles me and makes me laugh. Please proceed.
The premise of this is that Mirror Master comes to Captain Cold and says, "You need to come with me. I've got a great new scheme brewing." And Captain Cold says, "Sure." And so he goes along with him. And Mirror Master says, "You remember when all of those people from Earth 3 came here? And there was that crime syndicate with evil versions of the Justice League. Well, I made a friend from Earth 3. And he's here to help us cause some trouble." And Captain Cold says, "Who did you get? Was it the evil Superman? Was it the evil Green Lantern? Was it?" And Mirror Master says, "Oh, no, no, no. Manage your expectations, my friend." At which point, the evil Colonel Sanders from Earth 3, named Captain Sunder? Is that right? Well, I want to make sure I have... It's Colonel Sunder. My bad. Colonel Sunder. I wanted to make sure I had the rank correct. Because I understand, you know, when you've served, rank does matter. So I don't want to presume to fuck up the rank here. He is a colonel.
To be fair, he's only a Kentucky colonel, so it doesn't mean shit.
Well, you know, he's old enough that the military he served in maybe doesn't exist anymore. Anyway,
I'm pretty sure the military he served in and got that for was a posse. That was when he killed a man.
So.
Anyway, Captain... that's the good Colonel Sanders, by the way. We're talking about the bad Colonel Sanders.
So.
Sunders.
Captain Cold is understandably disappointed because out of all of the motherfuckers from Earth 3 they could have recruited, they got the evil Chicken Man.
And right, and it's such a rogue's move. It's such a rogue's move. Like, it wouldn't make sense forcing this on any other villains, but it's like, oh, Mirror Master really did think he had something going there. If everyone's evil on this planet, it doesn't matter who they are. They're gonna be evil, right? So it'll work out. They'll come along with us. And why the fuck the Chicken Man? What, the clown wasn't available? The big-headed king was busy stalking people? What, does Wendy murder people with a fucking axe and you just didn't trust the bitch?
And I think the question has to be asked, of course, if the regular universe king is a weirdo stalker and voyeur, what does the Earth 3 version look like? Anyway.
Oh, sweet Jesus. I would love a flashback at some point, like in an unrelated issue where Mirror Master appears in, where he drops that this is canon and maybe explains how the fuck he met Colonel Sunders. Like, how'd you make best friends with the evil version of Colonel Sanders, asshole? How did you do that? Anyway, regardless.
I would imagine that the weirdo murderer and the guy who's just kind of lazy have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both deadly sins, right? So they throw their lot in with Colonel Sunder, despite the fact that his whole thing is I'm a fast food restaurateur, but slightly shittier.
Yeah. I have absolutely no personal respect or dignity for my product, and don't give a fuck if I give you food poisoning from it.
Right. And
which
so,
he sings to a banjo tune. Bee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee-lee.
Yeah, his commercials are kind of funny because they wind up being just like, I don't give a fuck, come to my restaurant. But
and that's like the Colonel, the evil Colonel goes so hard at being so shitty. And it makes complete sense when we get them contrasted with the proper Colonel. But it's like, I am amazed that they allowed their brand to be associated even with that, with the Nega Colonel. Like,
right.
Like the dark evil Colonel who just outwardly looking exactly like Colonel Sanders says, I am a lazy piece of shit and chicken sucks ass.
Yeah. And so what winds up happening is Captain Cold and Mirror Master are disappointed because Colonel Sanders' plan consists mainly of opening a shitty chicken joint where Mirror Master and Captain Cold are forced to work.
That's what I absolutely love about it, especially, is they're career criminals. And by this stupid transitive property of we're all evil and we work together, it's a team up, they're now fucking fry cooks.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And so the upshot of all of this is that Flash and Green Lantern become vaguely aware of this and are about to investigate when Colonel Sanders shows up and says, no, 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 boys, I got this, and proceeds to burst in through the doors and take on Colonel Sunder himself.
I believe the correct terminology is a whoopin'. He gives him a whoopin'.
But my second favorite part of this, after Captain Cold's initial excitement over their Earth 3 get, is the fact that in the course of this battle between two portly old men, Colonel Sunder sprays Colonel Sanders with the pink slime cannon.
Yes.
At which point, of course, Colonel Sanders' white suit is ruined. So he rips it away, revealing a pristine white suit underneath. But in the end, Colonel Sunder is, of course, defeated and drop-kicked back to Earth 3. At which point, the question becomes, well, what do we do with Captain Cold and Mirror Master? And the heroes, by which I, of course, mean Flash and Colonel Sanders, discuss that, well, technically speaking, they didn't break any laws. All they did was work at a shitty chicken place. And I did neglect to mention that the whole thing is... What makes Colonel Sunder evil is that where Colonel Sanders does things the hard way.
And that's the hard way, capital T-H-W-T-M.
Right. Colonel Sunder cuts corners. That's it. It's not, I make substandard chicken, and oh, by the way, I'm a pedophile. It's not anything. There are no actual crimes committed by evil Colonel Sanders. All it is just, I make substandard chicken. And so, in the end...
I just realized our universe version of Jared is literally more evil than the evil universe version of the Colonel.
Yeah?
That's fucked.
By the way, there will be an episode at some point about the Subway Justice League comics. So look forward to that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, the... Does that mean that Earth 3 Jared works with runaways, but not in a way that's going to get him arrested? Anyway.
Right?
And
everyone thinks he's a prick, but he's actually, like, not? Interesting.
Everybody's just like, look at this sanctimonious fuckhead. What is he hiding? And it turns out he's actually just, like, really chill and actually does a lot of good and doesn't try to have sex with kids. Anyway, we've gotten way off here. Yeah. Look out for that episode. but in the end, they decide that no rules have actually been broken. And as such, Captain Cold and Mirror Master will have to be punished by working at a less shitty chicken joint. Which what I will say is, if you know anything about the American criminal justice system, you'll know that that's actually not something they'd otherwise be able to do, given that they have a felony record.
Yeah, and extensive ones. These are not first timers.
Right. So you've actually done them a favor, Colonel Sanders.
An incredible favor, Colonel. You have actually saved these men's lives. You have likely turned them away from crime. Holy shit. Colonel Sanders is the hero. Literally no one else in the entire DC universe is.
Yeah.
That includes Batman, who could hire all of these assholes.
So, I mean, Batman could literally afford to just come to all of the villains and be like, how much would it take for you to not break the law again?
What do you want? I can understand I can't buy the Joker, but like, come on, Victor. Come on, Dr. Freeze. Tell me what you need for this to actually be fine. How much money will it take for your research, bud?
Right. So yeah, at the end of this, they wind up with jobs. And Flash is left going, well, I'm not really sure what happened here, but it seems like a happy ending, so I'm gonna call it a done deal.
Yeah, and this isn't like a promotional length comic. It's a full length comic book. Like, all of this is given the amount of space it needs. The awkwardness is allowed to be on the page. It's not inferred. It's very much the Flash just being like, well, then, I don't know how the fuck this happened, but here I am watching two of my archenemies scrub the floor and sell chicken.
Right. One thing I do also really like is that the last part of this is a hero breakdown of
goes so hard in the extras. Oh,
Earth
my
Prime
God.
Colonel Sanders. So it, you know, it has the picture of Colonel Sanders and it has the various bubbles and so it has all of these very infinity pocket square. This light absorbing handkerchief made by Star Labs has the ability to fold space, keeping it forever clean. Inspection spectacles features HUD display magnification, and high resolution across multiple visual wavelengths. X-ray function allows the kernel to seek out empty stomachs. And all of these things have price tags attached to them. So the Infinity Pocket Square costs infinity dollars. The inspection spectacles cost $3 million. We have a poultry ring, which says Mystic Signet Ring handed down through generations of heroes. The gem glows when in proximity to devotees of the easy way. $66,980.99.
It's a power. I love that. Because, yeah, like, intrinsically, because of the nature of DC Universe, and because this does occur in the DC Universe, and all of that that is included, that means that, yes, the easy way is a magical force in the DC Universe.
Just as much as the speed force, or willpower, or anything else. The easy way and the hard way are like Lord's Chaos and Order. They are constantly at war and finding an uneasy balance. But the idea behind this suggests that not only Colonel Sanders doesn't simply sit and wait for situations in which someone is just like, well, I like to cut corners, and then he shows up and beats the shit out of them. Colonel Sanders is out there actively looking for adherence to capital T, capital E, capital W, T, M, the easy way. And so he is not just waiting for them to come to him. He's out there actively looking for them and shutting them down wherever they may exist. So
he's the proactive hero everyone wants, like Batman and Superman to be.
So my question is, does that mean that in this universe, KFC has driven McDonald's and Burger King and the various other quote-unquote easy way restaurants out of business? Is that... I mean, I know within certain versions of the DCU, there's Big Belly Burger.
Yeah. But so, there's also every now and then they'll drop in something that's a little more like in our universe. My assertion is, once again, the only thing Demolition Man got wrong, aside from everything else, is that Taco Bell one. Clearly it's KFC.
Wait, you all don't have the three seashells in Canada?
I don't know how to use the three seashells.
How do you go? I'm sorry. The rest of this episode needs to be devoted to figuring out, like, what are you all doing?
Ah, shit.
John Spartan, you are fined one credit for a violation of the verbal morality statute.
The thing that I keep coming back to, but I just can't avoid, is like how well written within the DC universe this is. Usually brands will demand some sort of bend towards their will. They're the ones throwing the money at this. It's a profit to begin with because it's a contract. You're giving this away free. No one at DC is making a sales profit from it. So, like, you got to do what the money says. And I just love that KFC is fantastic at allowing creatives to do whatever they want, and that the creatives in this, like, fully understand the Grant Morrison approach to Earth 3, in which, like, the evil colonel is destined to lose. His nature is not to be evil. It's his nature to just do the opposite. And that means, like, if he comes to our Earth, he's gonna suck and lose, and his chicken's gonna be shitty, and, like, there's no way this should have worked. It, like, Mirror Master should have fucking known. What was his goddamn plan? I mean, I know he's a fucking moron, but sweet Jesus, there is no way for this to have worked, and I just love how quickly everything collapsed to the point of, like, he's not even evil. He's just useless.
Yeah, I love the level of self-awareness that is allowed in this, in that, yeah, we're doing a book for the chicken restaurant, and everybody recognizes that, you know, we're doing a comic about the evil chicken man, and so there's a certain measure of who gives a shit, but also that's kind of baked in that nobody's half-assing this. Nobody's phoning it in. It's self-aware enough to be able to say, what was Mirror Master expecting? It's the evil chicken man. But also for everybody to come off looking good, you know, Colonel Sanders comes in and wrecks Colonel Sunder without any help from the heroes. But the heroes are not ineffectual. They're not bumbling. They're just standing off to the side going, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. This is apparently a thing that's happening now.
They're more like the audience surrogate, where, like, they're right. Doing exactly what you would probably do in this situation, and it's not be involved. It's stand there and go, am I really watching this? Oh, I am. Right. Wow. Cool. Wow.
Right. And so it succeeds where otherwise it shouldn't. This should not be as fun it is as it is. And, you know, If I, God forbid, were to pay for something like this, if I were to walk into a comic shop and buy a Flash comic, and then it turned out to be about how making chicken without cutting corners is the right way to do things, then I would of course be disappointed. But given that this is a free comic handed out to people who just were at a place they were going to be anyway, I would not be upset about receiving this.
I would be so happy if I got this and, like, you know, you're on the con floor, you're going through your stuff, and you flip open through it and you're like, wait, and you realize the ridiculousness. I would probably go back to the table where I got it from and be like, this is fucking gold. Do more of this. Here's my feedback as a consumer. Do this more. All of it. Constantly. Forever. If you must sell out.
And so
sell out this way.
You know, don't get me wrong. I got online to see what it would take to buy a copy of this secondhand. And on eBay, there are the cheapest copy that I'm seeing offhand is $150.99, which is far, far more than I would ever pay for this. There are CGC graded copies of this comic that are like $500.
Oh, good. That makes me happy. That That's the kind of good, ridiculous news you need today, where it's like, oh, that is silly Willy. Good.
Everything sucks, but at least there's this. So, yeah. I don't know. Go read it. It's yeah. dumb fun, and I don't know.
It's maybe... free online. No one is stolen from if you pirate this. You're absolutely in the clear to do this. So just go find it and have some fun.
Right.
Oh, have some fun.
There is no trade that Kara that reprints this. You're not taking money out of KFC or DC's pocket by doing so. And you get, and at the end, you may be hungry for chicken. Who knows? But
I know I was, and guess where I went? That's right, Popeyes.
Long as it wasn't Chick-fil-A.
Let me tell you, that chicken was the shiz.
Good. But yeah, just who cares? So yeah, read it. You know, what else are you going to do? Obsess about the world burning? Whatever.
Whatever. It's not like you're going to do anything. But if you are going to do anything, you should like and subscribe and comment and share this episode and tell your friends and then send us money. Bags of it.
That too. Yeah, for sure. Do that. We haven't yet decided what the next episode was going to be, I don't think.
No, we haven't. And I had an idea because I want to start dipping a toe into aspects of Marvel's involvement with other movies, but specifically Marvel properties. And I would like to suggest we do the adaptation of the failed Dazzler script. Yes, it is marketing for a failed Marvel project itself. It's an internal failed program.
The Dazzler is one of those things, like, it's so weird. Because Dazzler was supposed to be modeled after Grace Jones,
mm-hmm.
until she wasn't. And mm-hmm. there was going to be a movie with other artists from the record label, including Kiss.
And Olivia Newton-John.
And it was... That certainly... Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's like an archaeological dig into a product that never existed because everything fucking failed.
Certainly... I think we should definitely explore that. Whether it's our next episode, we'll see. But yeah, because I feel that that's one that maybe takes a little bit of prep work. But admittedly, I have my notes from the Watcher's Guide episode we did. So, I don't know. We'll see.
We will see.
Tune in next time for whatever the fuck we're going to talk about.
Who knows? It might be that. It might be Sonic the Hedgehog. Who the fuck knows?
Oh, God. All right. Well, bye.
Bye.